He pulled himself from the lineup. A little load management here, but Evan Roberts out. So plenty to get to, plenty of football to get to. The combine's here. Throughout the course of the show, I know it'll be a little bit later on in the show, Aaron Glenn, John Harbaugh, and Darren Mougi will all speak, I think, in the 1 o'clock hour. We should maybe have some quotes coming out from Joe Shane early this hour, but a lot of football on the mind, and this is a big NFL week, Teague. Even if the combine itself and the events that get televised, if anybody chooses to sit down and watch it, they find it extremely boring.
Right.
It's still a week with a lot of NFL news.
Oh, there's a ton of NFL news that's going to come out of this week because the GMs are getting together and conversations about free agency are going to start happening, and obviously we'll talk about the draft, what prospects look good and whatnot. But it's really interesting, though, to compare and contrast over the last 30 or so years what this NFL combine is and has become, because give credit to the NFL. They've made it into a television event.
They have.
They've made it into something that you as a football consumer feel like you need to watch, when, trust me, you don't. Because there's nothing that's going to come out of that other than this kid is a good kid, which you could probably find out anyways. You don't need to go to the combine to know the intel on Ty Simpson.
Yes.
What kind of what kind of person he is. Obviously, you're going to see it on tape, and by and large, it feels like a lot of these top guys, they don't want to even do anything at the NFL combine.
Mendoza's not throwing.
Some guys don't even want to get measured.
Yeah.
They don't want to. Hey, my thing says I'm 6'1", and they're actually 5'11". And so it's changed so much. I remember going there feeling intimidated. This is back, obviously, years ago in 1997. But I felt intimidated going to the combine. Like, man, these guys are judging me. And yeah. I got to do a Cybex test to see how strong my quads are relative to my hamstrings. And now I got to get under this bench and do 225 and run a 40. And if I don't measure up, how's it going to hurt me or help me? And I don't think it did anything for me, to be honest with you. People projected me into first, top of second. I got drafted at the top of the second round. It just kind of was what it was. But back then, it was just something you did.
Yeah.
Now, these kids are preparing for the combine,
which is
with the interviews and the testing that you got to take. It's a little bit crazy.
And a lot of, I don't blame a guy like Mendoza for not throwing. First of all, what do you have to gain? Your best tape is the tape you have playing football games.
I agree with
doing
you.
This. But you also have all these pro days, and teams go to see you at the pro days. It's how many times can you go through the same damn test? So I don't blame anybody not doing that. Now, Tiki, as I'm stuck in a hotel room for another night last night, because the Long Island Railroad still would not run home, and I got the text that Evan may be out with this back injury. I started the prep. All right, what are we going to talk about combine-wise? And I went through all 32 teams, and I went through all of the storylines in the combine, of which I'm going to rip off the top ones to tell you which ones matter. And I really think that while we have talked about the veteran quarterback stuff, and Evan put out his big board.
Yes.
I believe that there are no two people on this planet that this combine week is most important for than Darren Mougi and Aaron Glenn. Now, hear me out. It is easy for us as fans and jet watchers and wanting to get better to say, this is not a deep quarterback class. You got to kick the can down the road.
Right.
That's not as easy for Darren Mougi and Aaron Glenn to say. We know no matter what, they are going to add a veteran quarterback, if not two, because they have to.
Right.
However, much like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane were in the place of just a year ago in this town, you need that golden ticket to hold on to when things go wrong.
I got
for
the
your
golden
jobs,
ticket.
You do. Yes, the Willy Wonka. You need the golden ticket. You need something to point to that could, for better or worse, be your job saver. And what the Jets have done, by virtue of Darren Mougi being pretty smart at the trade deadline, is they have set themselves up for what I will call the Giants model.
Which is
this. You have a top five pick.
Yeah.
Don't burn that on a quarterback.
Right.
Take the best player available so that when you walk out of this draft, you know you did not wreck your franchise with a top five pick. You have a successful one. You don't reach on a quarterback.
Right. Player. And you have your Frank Gifford.
Yes.
Who was 16.
16. Exactly. Wait, who?
Frank Gifford, number 16.
Yeah, the pick 16. Like, Frank, who's the player Frank Gifford?
No.
Yes.
That's how I now remember it, after you thought it was Y.A. Tittle.
Which brings me to pick 16. What the Jets also have here is another golden ticket, right? It's 16. The Giants last year had to trade back up and play this waiting game of, when do we pounce to take the quarterback that, oh, by the way, at this time last year, people thought Jackson Dart was a second-round pick. They did.
Right.
Go back. I did the research. Can they find the Jackson Dart of this draft? Because looking back, last year is thought of as just Cam Ward. Shedeur Sanders is going to fall. It's Jackson Dart. This draft replicates a lot of that. It's Fernando Mendoza. what do we know about these other guys? And I believe that yesterday when we got the news, Ty Simpson out of Alabama is going to throw at the combine. This seems to be the one that is progressing up to be the second quarterback in this draft.
Yep.
I don't think.
Agreed.
I don't think Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn can afford for Ty Simpson to go to a franchise like the Rams and kind of sit there. Or if he throws well, I think you have to take him at 16.
So here's my only pushback.
All right.
On Ty, because I liked Ty Simpson. And matter of fact, Evan and I, when we would talk about this during the regular season, college regular season, for about three quarters of the college football season, my number one was Ty Simpson.
Yes.
It was not Fernando Mendoza. When Fernando Mendoza started miraculously winning some of these games, I think the Penn State game was the one where you really started saying, man, this kid's got some chutzpah when it matters, right? And so ultimately, I loved Fernando Mendoza, but Ty Simpson was the guy for a long time. Now, here's the challenge, though, with Ty Simpson. He's limited as an athlete. Put that in quotes, the athlete. And so the modern QB needs some sort of athleticism. And so if you're the Jets, are you going to draft a kid whose upside is maybe Tony Romo? Like that's the ceiling.
Still good ceiling.
Like, are you drafting Tony Romo in the first round? Tony Romo was not a first round pick, as we all remember. He was a sixth round pick.
No, I think he was undrafted.
You might be right.
I think he was undrafted.
No, you're right. I think he was undrafted. But either way, do you really want to draft that guy who is not potentially going to be a superstar? Jackson Dart had superstar potential. It was so unpolished. It's so raw. And ultimately, it was harnessed a little bit in his rookie season, and we saw some great things. He finished in the top five of the Rookie of the Year voting. He was fantastic, as we all know, as a Giant fan and lovers. We feel like he's our future. I don't think Ty Simpson's giving you that. I think he can give you consistency, but I think there's a limit on his upside. So are you really drafting that in the first round?
Okay. I think you're right, first of all, having watched all these Alabama games, but I do want to put something in a little bit of context. So for those wondering, like, why Ty Simpson, what happened to him? He did not really play at all his first 3 years, but didn't transfer.
Right.
He sat there at Alabama.
Played 1 year, that's it.
Right, played last year, and then what happened was midway through the year, he got an injury. And he decided to play through it because this was his chance to prove. So if you look, his first nine games, he's loaded up the stats. As Tiki alluded to, he wanted Ty Simpson as quarterback.
100%.
The rest of the year, he fell off a plateau, and you could point to the fact that he got hurt. He didn't survive the bowl game or whatever happened at the end of the year. And he was banged up, and that took a dip in his numbers. So you might be right as far as mobility and the upside and all that goes into it. This is still a guy that sat at Alabama for 4 years, observing SEC football.
True.
And playing this year.
But he wasn't playing SEC football.
No, but when he did this year earlier in the year, he was playing good football.
Yeah.
Now, I'm with you, and this is why I would not take him top five. It's why he's not being discussed there.
I agree with that.
But there's also a difference, Tiki, and this is the reality of the NFL. There is a difference between what is best for the franchise and what is best for the people running the franchise.
Mm.
And my only point to that would be, if I was a Jet fan, I would probably say, you know what? I am willing to wait one more year. However, I don't think this GM and coach can.
Mm.
Because if they go bring in Derek Carr, or they go, I'm going to count out Malik Willis. I think he's going to get too much money somewhere else. They go trade for Tua or whatever they do. We already know the ceilings of those guys.
Yeah.
And the ceilings of those guys with the talent on the roster still may not be good enough to save Aaron Glenn or Darren Mooji's job if they go win five games this year.
Unlike at the end of this is trying to save your job at the beginning of your tenure.
Yeah.
As opposed to what we talked about last year with Dabes and Joe Shane, saving your job at the end, potential end of that tenure by drafting a quarterback who could quote unquote save you. They're trying to do it early.
That's my point. And I think when you have this pick and Mooji traded for it, you're not screwing the franchise by taking a quarterback in the top five. But, man, it works out in that back end. Now, CBS Sports did like a spot on all the Ty Simpson landing things when I came through. And they all have this range. Could the Steelers take him with Mike McCarthy at 21? The Rams, I mentioned, at 29. The Cardinals are lurking to trade back in. Like, the Jets, to me, fit the bill of the exact kind of team because of the draft capital they have to not have to burn trading picks to take Ty Simpson there.
Yeah.
Be bold.
Yeah, and so unlike those other teams, let's assume that Aaron Rodgers goes back or he goes to the Rams late. He'll sit. Like they're not even a prospect of him competing for the starting job. He's going to sit. Mm-hmm. He's going to learn. He's going to grow in his first season. Where if he comes to the Jets, there's a good chance he's going to get pushed to play.
Well, and that's the thing. You
and I don't know if that's a good thing.
You draft him with the intent, just like the Giants did when they brought in Russell Wilson. okay, we can all throw up in our mouths now. You bring him in with the intent to sit.
Right.
Sit behind the, there's a, we know they're adding a veteran no matter what. But to that point, when a season goes awry, what is the best way for a coach and GM to plant their flag? Hey, that young quarterback we drafted looks good. We are building something.
Just throw him in there.
Just throw him in there. You don't have that. You don't have that in the second half of the year if you don't be bold with the 16th pick.
Right.
And now you want to play the game and say he's there at 33? All right. You know, we could have that conversation. But you're also throwing the dice when I mentioned all those other teams.
You might be convincing me a minute.
Think about it.
Here's and it's what you just said that kind of rung true with me. I don't know who they're going to bring in, veteran. There's going to be a veteran that's brought in.
Yeah.
We know that. To be determined what happens with Justin Fields, probably going to get released post whatever, et cetera. He's not on this team next year, I don't think. So they bring in a veteran, and that veteran plays, and he just says he's not good. Let's say Tua is just not good, and he's throwing a ton of interceptions. He needed Mike McDaniel to be a somewhat decent quarterback. He's faltering. The season's awry. You're going to win five games. You're not running Tua out there.
No.
Over and over and over. Or Brady Cook. You're not running him out there over and over. Because it becomes not interesting.
Right.
And the Jet fan completely disconnects. But if season's lost, you drafted Ty Simpson at 16 and you run him out there, it's like, man, maybe he learned something. And we know he's here for the next couple of years. It could be beneficial for him and for the team because you get to see what you have when the season gets lost.
And hear me out a little further. It's all about not wanting to, like, when you take a quarterback in the first round, the fear is, this is a bust and I wasted a pick.
Yeah.
If you're not using your pick that you earned with your terrible record to do it, and it's a traded for pick, I don't view it the same way. Also, they got two first round picks for Sauce Gardner. The other one is next year, and what everybody is claiming is a better draft than this one. Even at the worst case, if Ty Simpson fails, you still traded Sauce Gardner for a first-round pick, which I think we could all agree is still, if they had said Sauce Gardner got traded for a first and not two, we would have been fine with it last year, right?
Yeah.
The upside of hitting on a franchise quarterback and not burning like a top-five pick is enormous. It just worked for the Giants and made them an attractive franchise. I'm not saying it will work out, but I'm saying this GM and this head coach can't afford not to at least take the swing on it with the 16th pick. Now, he could come to the combine and look like a disaster, and we're laughing at this take on Monday. But this is what is in front of us this week at the combine, and it is so imperative that Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji find another quarterback to rise to the top here because they need it more than any other regime. Sean McVay don't need to do it.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy's on his first year. He doesn't need to do it. The Arizona Cardinals, they just hired a new head coach. They don't need to do it. They have that 1 year grace period.
Right. They don't have the failure of last year.
This is year two with a stink on this regime. They can't keep kicking the quarterback can down the road. They need Ty Simpson to show up this week, and they need to be the team taking
him. Or some veteran comes loose, and it becomes the guy.
Okay.
But that's unlikely.
Right.
That's unlikely.
You want to tell me that C.J. Stroud magically Texans from the divorce?
Or Malik, even Malik Willis.
Okay, the price point comes to
them. But as you heard the morning show talking about, that number sounds excessive. It's not one, if I'm the Jets, that I'm willing to go to.
And we'll also know that before the draft, too. That's the beauty of it.
You're right.
We'll know that in March. But as it stands, when we keep talking about these quarterbacks, Mac Jones or Derek Carr, all these guys, we know the end result. The chance of them turning into a 10-win team with that veteran quarterback are slim. They could be more competitive, but the Jets regime needs upside even more so than just the competitiveness. And using that cold pick on the next quarterback in the draft, which may be Ty Simpson, seems to me to be a very smart play. 888-808-1019. Jet fans, your thoughts. Jets looking for a quarterback this week at the combine. Do they need to follow the Giants model?